Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
And tonight, I want to look at with you at a passage out of John chapter 1. And we're going to start by looking at verse 43. And I just really believe God's going to work in your heart tonight to help you understand maybe if you're feeling a little bit stuck or you're feeling like, man, I'm not sure what God has for me next. I believe God's gonna help you move forward tonight. And that's a wonderful thing. I love that we serve a God who loves to move people forward no matter where they're at in their journey with him, that he's always ready to do that. And so we're gonna look at John chapter 1, verse 43. It says this: the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. Jesus decided. Now this is Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, and he decides to go. This is when he's about to reveal himself. And I love, anytime you see in scripture that God decided to do something, you know something is about to happen. God decided to move. Anytime God moves, you see God working in scripture. I don't know if you remember Genesis chapter 1, but when God, the Spirit of God, is hovering over the water, nothing has happened, and God's hovering over the water, and God decides to move. He decides to move, and he says, let there be light, and planets come into existence, and things begin to happen, and plants begin to grow, and God raises up man out of the ground. When God decides to move, creation bursts forth. God decided to move, and something happened. I don't know if you remember in Exodus, when the children of Israel are in slavery, and God says, I have heard the cries of my people, and I am coming down to help them. God decides to move, and plagues begins to happen, and whole kingdoms are brought down, and seas begin to part because God decided to move, and 2 million people are set free because God decided to move. When God decides to move, something happens. Or you take it to the New Testament in Acts chapter 2, when there was a gathering of people that looked much like you do tonight. People that said, you know what? I'm a little bit hungry for what God wants to do in my life. So much so, I'm coming out on a Wednesday night to get in the presence of the Lord, a gathering like this, and God decides to move. And wind begins to rush through the place, and tongues of fire come on people's heads, and the church bursts forth into a new season because the Holy Spirit fell. When God decides to move, something happens. I hope that you're looking for a move of God in your life, because you know what? It just takes a moment where God says, you know what? I decided I'm going to do something in their life. And when God decides to move, something happens. And that's not even what I'm preaching on tonight, but I hope that it blessed you. So we read this, that Jesus decides to go to Galilee. Something's about to happen. And then in the next verse, it says, he found Philip and said to him, come follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida in Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, we have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nazareth, exclaimed Nathanael. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Come and see for yourself, Philip replied. As they approached, Jesus said, now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity. How do you know about me? Nathanael asked, and Jesus replied, I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you. Then Nathanael exclaimed, Rabbi, you really are the Son of God, the King of Israel. And Jesus asked him, do you believe just because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? He said, you'll see greater things than these. Then he said, I tell you the truth, you'll see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man. It's an interesting passage, and honestly, if I was gonna pick passages I was gonna preach on, it probably would not be even in the top 100. But it's interesting how God begins, as you read his word, to breathe things, and things begin to come alive to you that didn't come alive before. That's why you never wanna get, like, passive about reading the word of God. Because you never know when you're gonna come to a passage that God all of a sudden breathes alive. But before we go into what we're talking about tonight, I just wondered, I had this here and I have it tonight. And I just wondered, does anybody want this? Just say to somebody, anybody want this? Oh, people, you want it. You know what I mean? You want it? Anybody want it? Anybody want it? Speaking of passive, man, come on. Like, who wants it? What, am I coming to you or are you coming to me? Oh, look at this guy. Give him a hand. Blessed are those. Blessed are you. Sub sandwich for you. Now, I just have to tell you, that's real nice that guy got a sub, but I just set you up because that is not a Subway sandwich. That is an Andy's frozen custard pumpkin pie concrete that somebody just got blessed with in the house tonight. I set you up because tonight's title is Get Up. This is a setup. Get up. This is a setup. Now, this is important for you to hear because there are things in your life, places where you got stuck, things that God wants to do, where he is setting you up for a blessing, but you're gonna have to get up to get the blessing that God has set you up for. There are things that God wants you to seek him for, things that God wants you to see. In fact, I just read a verse in Jeremiah that said, ask me and I will show you. That God wants you to see more of him. God wants you to know more of him. And he's setting you up for that. But you're gonna have to get up to get what he set you up for. Things he wants to send you out to do. But you're gonna have to get up for what he set you up for. You know, we have an enemy that wants to keep us sitting, that wants to keep us quiet, that wants to keep us stagnant, that wants to keep us passive, that wants to keep us from praying, that wants to keep us from believing, that wants to keep us from seeking, that wants to keep us from seeing, that wants to keep us from going out and being sent by God for the setup he has for you. So he will do anything he can to keep you from what? Getting up. For the setup that God has for you. Get up. This is a setup. Turn to your neighbor and say, get up. This is a setup. And I want you to see some things in this passage that help illustrate this. In verse 43, it says, the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and Jesus found Philip and said to him, come follow me. And Philip was from Bethsaida and Andrew, Peter's hometown. And Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, we have found. Now I want you to, we learned from reading it that Nathanael is under a fig tree when Philip goes to find him. Now, I think you need to understand that in that time, being under the fig tree was like being at Starbucks, reading your Bible, or journaling about your future, meditating on whatever you're meditating about, drinking a Trente Frappuccino, listening to Christian Kanye. You know what I mean? Like, that's what that was. That was the fig tree. That's what Nathanael is doing. Now, I want you to ask yourself, why is Nathanael... why is he sitting when other people are seeking? Why is he sitting when his bros are seeking? And you might be like, well, you can't be too hard on him. Obviously, Philip came and found him, and Jesus found Philip. It's very clear in scripture. But I want you to notice what it says. Jesus found Philip, but then Philip told Nathanael, we have found. So did Jesus find Philip, or did Philip find Jesus? And I want to tell you it's both. Both, because Philip was looking. And honestly, if you want God to work in your life, you're gonna find that happen over and over again. You're gonna say, man, I sought God and I found out he was seeking me this whole time. You know, did God save you or did you raise your hand and come forward? It's both. You know, did God work in that situation because he just wanted to, or did he do it because we prayed? It's both. God is moving, God is acting, but we have to be seeking because he is looking, but we're gonna find him when we seek him. In fact, the Bible says, when you seek him, you will find him when you what? Seek him with all your heart. And I don't ever wanna be found when people are seeking to be the one sitting. Because if you wanna see God work in your life, when God is moving, you wanna be in a posture of seeking because that's when you're gonna find God. God is looking to work in your life, Because he wants you to seek him, though, he's gonna wait for you to seek him. Some things God wants to do in your life are only gonna happen when you get up and you recognize, God, you're just this problem that I'm facing, or this thing where I'm needing you to come through, or this place where I'm needing you to speak to me, is not just gonna happen because you're waiting for me to get up and seek you. Yes, you have something for me because you're setting me up for your blessing, but you're waiting for me to get up and say, God, I believe there is a blessing on the other side of this problem, and you're just waiting for me to get up and seek you. And when I seek you, I'm gonna find you. And that's just how it works. As long as you sit back and say, well, if God wants to do it, he'll do it, then you're gonna be waiting for a long time, because God is looking for people who seek him, who seek him. And Philip comes to Nathanael and says, hey, we found him. We found the one. And I think it's interesting, Nathanael's response. He says, we found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Now, I wonder if you could ask yourself this question. Have you ever missed something? Like, you missed something that was like a really big thing, and you're like, man, how did I miss that? Has that ever happened to you? You missed it, something big? You're like, I totally missed it. You know, like, I almost ran into a mailbox yesterday because I was praying on the road, had my eyes closed because I'm a pastor. And so I just know the Holy Spirit's gonna take care of me. And I opened my eyes and I was almost off the road in the mailbox. And I thought, I'll just pray with my eyes closed from now on when I drive. But you almost missed something. So I don't know if you ever sent, have you ever sent a text message in like, I don't know. Here's how, when I'm in a meeting or something, not that I do this a lot, but every once in a while, I just want my wife to know I'm thinking about her, okay? Because that's a good husbands do that. And so I send her like a text message. I wonder if we can put it on the screen. I sent her this. Yeah. And I said, I just blinked at the screen, you know, let the background noise play. And I'm like, that's like, hey, babe, I'm thinking about you. And some of you are like, man, you do need prayer, and I'm gonna pray for your marriage tonight. So I was in a meeting, and I sent this text message to her just be like, hey, I'm thinking about you. And it's just a chicken blinking, all right? Because that's pretty cool and pretty fun. But I missed something kind of big, because I sent this chicken, and the second I pressed send, I realized I did not send it to my wife as this text message screen erroneously displays. I actually sent it to Robert Madu, all right? Robert Madu got a chicken blinking at him with background noise, just a chicken blinking, all right? Just 10 minutes of a chicken blinking from Brandon Lindell. Just so you know, I don't text Robert Madu chickens on a regular basis. If you don't know who Robert Madu is, he like speaks everywhere around the world, and now he knows me really well. But I said, ha, that's an accident. That text was meant for my wife. Roll your eye emoji, which I was thankful that it was that text message, you know? Anyway, praise the Lord. Yeah, thanks, guys. Supportive environment. But I don't know if you've ever missed anything big. I don't think there could be anything bigger than missing what Nathanael misses in this moment, all right? I want you to read this again and just think with that texting chicken thing in the back of your mind. We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, which means Savior, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Now let's read what Nathanael gets out of this awesome statement. This person that literally the prophets spoke about, that our people have been waiting for thousands of years. Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I don't know about you, but I think he might have missed the message on that one. It's kind of like if you walk out of a sermon or you walk out of a service and you're like, man, I just don't know what they're doing with the lights tonight. You know, it's like you can miss it just by seeing the small thing, making an issue out of the small thing. Now, I wanna encourage you, if you're maybe a little stuck and you're not seeing, maybe it's because you might have allowed a little skepticism to enter into your equation of your heart. Because skepticism will always keep you sitting when you should be seeking. Will always keep you from seeing what God wants you to see, because you're making an issue out of a non-issue. Nazareth, you know, that's like the smallest thing in here. And Nathanael makes a big issue out of that. Like, that's all he hears. And honestly, skepticism, all you hear is the negative thing you can find. God might be wanting to give you a word. God might be coming to you. God might be seeking you out. God might be setting you up for a blessing and wanting you to get up and step up into that blessing. But you're hung up. You don't get up because you're hung up on something small. And so you miss what God wants to set you up for. And I want to encourage you tonight. Some of you have something that God wants to do in your life, a place where he's speaking to you, a place where he wants to bless you. But your heart can get full of negativity and skepticism if you allow it to live there. Maybe there's a doubt that you struggle with, but you've allowed that doubt to make you doubtful instead of faith-filled. And that's a terrible place to live when you're walking with the Lord. And honestly, it really hinders you from what God wants to do in your life. And you need to bring that to the Lord and say, God, I repent. Not that questions are bad, but when we allow questions to keep us from being faith-filled in what God has, because God will help us with some of our questions, and some of them, we just leave them to the Lord because there are not answers that we're going to know in this side of this life. But God still wants to move. God still has things for you. And if you say, God, I'm going to be faith-filled, and God, I want to seek you with all my heart, and I'm going to get up into everything you have for me, God will use that and bless you, and you're going to see him move, and you're going to see him work, and you're going to be like, I may not have all my questions answered, but I saw God move here, and I saw him move here, and I saw him move here, and I saw him move here as I got up into everything God had for me. If you want to get up, you can't live there, but you got to live faith-filled. And I love what Philip says to him, because sometimes, maybe you flip this, you think of the person you're trying to reach, and you're like, man, God could really work in your life, and you feel like they get hung up on something small. You feel like, man, I'm trying to reach this person, but they seem like they just always get hung up on the non-issue or trying to make a big issue out of something that isn't really the deal, and how do I deal with that? And I want to show you, I think Philip handles this absolutely brilliantly. He just says, hey, just come and see for yourself. Just come and see for yourself. I love that because that's honestly the heart of God, is an invitation. That, you know, God rarely responds with an argument, but he often responds with an invitation. And I want to encourage you, maybe you're trying to reach somebody for the Lord, and maybe you've been trying the argument route, and you've been trying to convince them. You're like, man, when I get a good argument, a good enough argument, man, I'm gonna convince them, and then they'll come and the lights will turn on. And I just wanna encourage you, if that's not working, maybe it's because the Lord wants you to try the invitation route and say, you know what, I'm not gonna get into the argument with you, because honestly, behind that question, there's another question. Behind that question, there's another question. Behind that question, there's another question. And that's honestly not the issue. The issue is they just need to experience God. There is a hole in their heart that only God can fill. And if they come experience him, they're going to be filled and they're going to say, man, I didn't realize I even needed this. I love God's heart to invite. I love God's heart. Maybe as I talk about, you're like struggling with doubt and skepticism. You know what God's answer is for you? It's not like, here, yeah, come back when all your questions get answered. Or, man, you're doubtful, like, I don't even know what to do with you. But God's heart is like, you know what? Let's lay those down for a second. Why don't you just come and see? Why don't you, rather than thinking about all the things you don't know, I know you got this thing in your life. I actually put it there. It's a thing where you need my help. And I'm not gonna argue with you about this. I'm just gonna invite you. I'm gonna say, you know what? Hey, there's gonna be a moment, and if you just come and see, you're gonna watch my power work in your life. I'm setting you up for a blessing, but I'm just waiting for you to get up, step into that blessing, that invitation. And you know what? So Nathanael, he comes and sees, And he comes to Jesus, and Jesus says this in the musicians, you guys can come. As they approach Jesus, Jesus said, now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity. I love that. You know what Nathaniel says to that? He says, how do you know about me? And I think that's a really telling thing. I love the honesty that he has, because oftentimes we think if God, that's the image I put out there, but if God really knew me, he wouldn't want me. If God really knew me, he wouldn't care about me. Like, you know, I feel like Jesus is intentionally putting out here, like, this is what you're known for, man. Ah, this is the guy, you know? Like, you're the funny guy, you know? Or you're the really smart person, or you're the good person. You know, you seem to always have it together. You seem like such a good person. And deep down, you know, you're like, I know people think that I always have it together, or I know people think that I always have the answers. I'm kind of the answer person, I'm a problem solver. But deep down, you're like, if they really knew me, that's just my front. And Jesus says, hey, you're this, this, and he goes, I don't know, you don't really know me. And I love what Jesus says. He says this, Jesus replied, I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you. That's a God statement right there, before. It reminds me of John chapter 8 when Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. Do you know, for you, I don't know what you're walking through, but being a Christian doesn't mean that you're always perfect. And being a Christian doesn't mean you have it all figured out. And being a Christian doesn't mean you feel faith-filled 100% of the time. What it means is you're on a walk with Jesus. And the enemy wants you to believe that it means the other side of that. That it means that the persona that you build, you have to maintain that with God. Because if God really knew who you were, he wouldn't want you. And I love how Jesus is like, you know what? When you were skeptical and you were sitting under that tree before Philip even found you, I saw you and I still want you. I knew you before. God knew you before you were a Christian. God knew you before. He knew you before you walked in tonight. He knew you, what you were doing in the van with the kids when you were yelling and losing your mind. It's a real thing, isn't it? And he still wants you. And he's still setting you up. I knew you before means that he knows all the things that Nathaniel was thinking in his heart and all the things he did, and yet he still wants to work in his life. He says, I knew you before. And Nathaniel says this, he goes, then Nathaniel exclaimed, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel, which is really telling, because I feel like it's Nathaniel saying, wow, I've just encountered Jesus. And he's like, I think I figured it out. I think you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. Now, when he says that, that's what they're hoping for. The King of Israel, the Messiah, in their mind was the person who was gonna come and solve all their problems. He was gonna make it right with Rome. They're under this oppression, and he's gonna solve the problems, and he's gonna bring peace, and he's gonna do all these things. And Nathaniel sees, like, oh, okay, this is what I had in my mind for the Messiah, and I guess you are it. I guess you are the one here to solve my problems. I mean, have you ever had an encounter with God? You know, I think this is kind of like, sometimes as believers, we can have an encounter with God, and then we can check encounters with God off the list. You know what I mean? Like, yep, I went to the altar one time. Back in 64, it was a great day, you know? It's like, but I've done the altar thing. Or yeah, I prayed one time and saw God come through. Or yeah, I know God's, and we think because we've encountered God, we know everything God has for us. We know everything God wants to do. And I got God thing figured out. And I love how Jesus takes this and says, you know what? There's so much more. There's so much more. You're gonna see more. If you seek me, you're gonna see more, and I'm actually gonna send you out. He says this, Jesus answered, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, you believe, you will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. I love that, because Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. You notice Nathanael calls him the Son of God, King of Israel. It's big and it's grandiose and it's awesome. And Jesus is the Son of God, but Jesus is telling him something really important here. He goes, hey, Nathanael, I'm not just here to solve a problem. I'm not just here to solve your problem. I'm here to solve the problem. And that's because humanity isn't connected to God, doesn't have a relationship with God, and I'm gonna be the gateway between humanity and God. And I am the Son of Man, and I want relationship with you, and I want relationship with people. And Nathanael, I want you to follow me, but you're gonna have to get up into everything I have. You know, maybe you find yourself tonight and you're like, man, that's great. You know, God wants to get us. He's setting us up for a blessing. He, you know, that's a good word. But I want you to think tonight, God, what do you want to do in my life? Because I think if you've been walking with God for a while, and honestly, I think this is the word for tonight. If you've been walking with God for a while, you can feel like, man, I don't know, like, I just don't know about getting up right now, like, because I don't know if God wants to work in this situation. I don't know if God wants to help me here. And I don't know, like, I feel like I've gotten up in the past and, like, does God really want to move now? And I'm kind of tired and I just don't know. And I think the Lord wants to come to you tonight and say, you know what? If you let faith rise in your heart, and you say, God, I want everything you have for me. And God, I wanna get up and I wanna seek you because I believe you have things you wanna show me. You're gonna show me greater things. And God, I don't only believe that, but I believe as you bless me, God, you're gonna send me out. You're gonna send me out to everything you have for me. Because you know what this is? This is Jesus telling you, this is my plan for humanity. And I think at first you have to recognize who Jesus is, but then Jesus wants you to get up so you can be sent. And, you know, Nathanael, his name, we know him as Nathanael in this passage, but his name is Bartholomew in other places. Bartholomew, you can call him Bart. He is one of the 12 apostles sent by Jesus. And Bartholomew ends up, I think it's cool because he's this skeptical guy here. And Jesus calls him anyway and says, you know what, I want you. And he decides to get up and follow Jesus. And he decides to get up and press into Jesus. And he says, you know what, I believe God can use me. And I believe God does want to work in my life. And he decides to get up. And God, he not only gets up to see and to seek Jesus, but he gets up to be sent by Jesus. And he ends up going to India, being one of the 12 disciples who literally turns the world upside down because of this moment where he said, you know what, I'm a skeptical guy. I'm a guy that's got a lot going on in the past. I don't know if you know me, but then Jesus reveals himself to him and says, you know what? If you follow me, I'm gonna take you on a journey, but it's not gonna be a journey just to solve your problem. It's gonna be a journey where you know me intimately and then you share me with the world. If you get up, I'm going to show you me and I'm gonna send you out. You know what apostle means? It means sent one. It means sent one. I can't even tell you, like, okay, so Bartholomew, he shares Christ in the India region. That's where he went. And he shares Christ with this leader, and church tradition says that they got so upset that they ended up martyring him for Jesus. And you might be like, well, wow, that's crazy. But you know what that does to me? It makes me go, God, man, I want to be like that. God, I don't want to let the places where I'm like, not sure, God. You know, have you ever shared your faith and you're like, man, maybe I'm not cut out for this evangelism thing. Maybe I'm not the one to be sent. Maybe God doesn't want to move in this area. But this passage tells us, no, God's taking us on a journey. And if we walk with him, he's gonna show us relationship with him. And it's not about us being perfect. It's about us hanging out with Jesus. And then as we hang out with Jesus, we become a sent one, just like Nathaniel did. And we can say, go from the skeptic or whatever you're at or whatever you struggle with, and you hang out with Jesus a little bit and he takes you on a journey and you become a sent one. So maybe that thing that God put in your life, maybe that thing that you see that you can't get over, if you get up and say, God, I'm gonna believe you for this, God's gonna use that to build your relationship with him, and then he's gonna use that to build your faith so he can send you out. So you can say, you know what God did in my life? He did this. And it becomes a testimony that you stand on. Maybe it's you know what God did in my life? He did this. And it becomes the thing that gives you faith to move forward. Who knows what God will do if you get up? But you have to get up for the setup that he's wanting to bless you with. Some of you, you know, like when the seeking moment happens, you sit back. I just want to encourage you, the hungry and thirsty get to be filled. And I don't know what you're seeking God for, but God wants to move in your life. And God has supernatural answers for you. And he has supernatural. And if you make it about him and seeking him, he'll give you relationship and he'll do things in your life that you never thought possible. But you have to get up in faith. Getting up is a faith move, isn't it? Getting up is saying, God, I believe you. I believe you're gonna do it again. Or God, I don't see a way, but I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna be one of those who seek you. I promise you, if you do that, there's more joy there than ever sitting back in the skeptical, cynical seat. And there's more life there. And that's where God begins to speak to you and show you things. But God begins to use you in power. Amen? Amen. So right now, I'm going to give you an opportunity. We're going to open up the altar. Whatever you're seeking God for, as a sign of faith, you say, God, I'm going to get up and I'm going to believe you that you're setting me up for your blessing. You know, God is good and he does good. He rises. You know, the Bible says he stores up goodness for people. The Bible says that he has good things he prepared in advance for us to do. So you get up in that faith and say, God, I believe this is just something where you want to show your goodness, and I'm going to seek you for it, and I'm going to find you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to open up the altar. You step out of your seat, get up, seek the Lord, watch him work in life.